Hollywood, California, Beverly Hills, the beach, the Viper Room. That's where River Phoenix died.
Who's River Phoenix?
The Capitol Records building. Castake Studios in Castake, California? Isn't that where they filmed Cheerleader Chainsaw Chicks? Gimme a B!
B!
Gimme a movie!
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 Gimme a mania!
Mania!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania! And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and Crazy Chris Hudson.
God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to host this episode?
Well, first you put the Lloyd Kaufman intro in.
Right, okay. I can do that.
He already did that. He already did that.
We're already past that.
Oh, and then I say, welcome to another episode of B-Movie Mania. Thank you for joining us. My name is Paul Brooks. I am your host for the evening. And also on the show tonight, per usual, is Mike Hayes.
Ah, yay!
Thank you for preparing something for your intro.
I did.
Let's see if Chris Hudson prepared something for his intro.
Paul, it's actually, my name is actually Crazy Chris Hudson the Fourth.
Oh, gotcha. My apologies.
Why is that? Can you explain that, please?
Well, because my daddy was Crazy Chris Hudson, and my grandpa was Crazy Chris Hudson, and my great-grandfather was Crazy Chris Hudson. I'm the Fourth.
Got it.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you. That was perfect. That was time well spent on the podcast. Paul, please continue.
And Jason Hulls.
This is bull crap.
Of all the lines to quote, you go with that.
It's short.
Yeah, that's true. And
it's a lot shorter than mine.
Yeah, I am so excited. I am so excited tonight to have one of my favorite YouTubers on the program with us. Because with all the insane chainsaw action in this movie, we needed a chainsaw expert on this show.
Oh boy.
For all you know, it's Bridget Bardot. Welcome, Bridget.
Hello, nice to be here.
So lovely to have you. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for putting up with Cheerleader Chainsaw Chicks. Although I heard you like it, so let's get into some quick takes.
Quick takes!
You know what? Let's actually, let's mix it up a little bit, guys. Let's start with Bridget. Bridget, what's your quick take for this movie that we watched, Cheerleader Chainsaw Chicks?
I love kumquats, number one.
Yes.
I'm glad to know that this director loves it, too. But also, I love a director with an ego. Like, long live Virginia. This was her passion project, and I love her for it.
Nice. Very nice. Let's go in alphabetical order tonight. That would be Chris Hudson.
So the title, Cheerleader Chainsaw Chicks, it's an extremely true title. There are cheerleaders, there are chainsaws, and there are chicks. And that's about all I can say about that.
Technically, that is true.
Yeah.
Jay.
This is so hard because I'm pretty sure Bridget likes this movie.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay. I love plenty of bad things.
Speak your mind. Speak your truth.
I embrace the terrible. Speak your truth.
All right, I'll speak my truth. Insomnia is a very common condition affecting between 50 and 70 million Americans each year. I think we might have found the cure.
Oh, wow. No. Wow. Okay, you know, hey, listen, interesting. I always appreciate it when there's some differences of opinion on this show. So,
well, I'm hoping to be enlightened here today.
Okay. We'll see what happens. Appreciate you keeping an open mind.
Mm-hmm. Lieu of a quick take, I would like to do something a little unconventional. I'd like to respond to everyone else's quick take, real quick. Quick response.
Okay. Quick responses.
Bridget, I too love kumquats. Maybe my favorite fruit.
Yeah.
Skin and all, baby. Chris Hudson, I disagree with you. This is not Cheerleader Chainsaw Chicks. It's not an accurate movie title. It's an accurate list. There is at no point more than one chick with a chainsaw in this movie at any point. So I'm going to say incorrect. Mm.
Disagree.
Jay, melatonin, baby. Try some.
Okay. Thank you.
Can you imagine Jay watching this movie on melatonin? Holy cow.
Oh, no.
There is no rhyme or reason to this movie, so there's going to be no rhyme or reason to this episode. You can say whatever you want, whenever you want. You can interrupt people.
Paul,
you can go
Paul,
out of order.
Paul,
you can
I just
do
want
it
to say,
all.
I've got to interrupt you right now.
Wow, that's shocking.
I just have to say that sometimes when I get a little too, say, maybe like long-winded, I take a long time to say something. You could just either like edit in the sound of a circular saw, some sort of power tools, yeah. Maybe someone walking around carrying a power tool.
Yeah, definitely not the sound of a chainsaw.
Not the sound
a
of a chainsaw,
saw.
Though.
No.
Yeah, but a circular saw.
There are hardly any chainsaws in this movie. This should be called Cheerleader Buzzsaw Chicks. Because I saw so many circular saws, but I saw very few chainsaws. I feel cheated.
I think somebody was holding a hedge trimmer that actually needed to be plugged in.
Bridget, I'd like to say you maybe only saw one buzzsaw because it was the same shot over and over. I don't think it was ever a second
but
shot.
But it was such a memorable shot.
That's true.
That buzzsaw showed so much personality.
This can be a test for everyone. Like, if you need a mental efficiency test to make sure your memory, like you don't have a concussion, watch the movie, and if you don't remember there being a buzzsaw, you have a concussion. That's
and if you make it all the way through, you'll probably end with a concussion.
Yeah, so you got to stop at the sweet spot. I don't know where that is.
I have a question, though. Serious question. Yep. I actually tried to do a little bit of research into this to see just kind of how it came together and whatnot. I couldn't really find too much. Did anybody find, like, some kind of origin story of this thing?
I did actually do a stupid amount of research for this.
Okay.
Nice. I had to find this out.
Okay.
So the director is Virginia. She was actually a producer on a Billy Zane movie. So, like, that Billy Zane clip she shows, that's her movie.
Okay.
Yeah, these are all Billy Lifton movies. She co-produced a lot of movies with Billy Lifton, including the Mirror Mirror series. The bad 80s music videos you heard, unfortunately, at least for the first one, was awful. The second one was fine. That's Billy Lifton before he got into movie making and getting caught up in a scheme. The mayor and someone else of the city he was taking, like, getting money to fund like an art institute for, scammed him out of money. Ooh. And those people went to prison.
So what we're trying to say is that a big portion of this movie is like a clip show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cheerleader Chainsaw Chicks came out in 2018. It was directed by Virginia Perfilli, is I believe how you say her last name. And it stars Quinn Sherrow, Kelly Hines, Alexis Giller, and Chloe White as the titular cheerleader chainsaw chicks. Bridget, who was driving the car at the beginning of this movie? Because the directions are all over the place. As someone who lives in LA, I don't know if you picked up on this or not, but if they're trying to get up to Santa Barbara, they took a pretty weird way.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm quite confused about where they are at any point in this movie.
Fair.
It's like, I'm sorry, they went from like Beverly Hills to somewhere on the Sunset Strip to Hollywood, and they're like, oh, we're moving fast towards Hollywood. And I'm like, this is how you know it's a movie.
Where was River Phoenix killed?
Wow.
I know they passed by that.
I think it was the Viper Room.
Oh, right.
I don't think he was killed, Chris. I think he died at the Viper Room.
Oh, you think he died at the Viper Room.
Oh, that's an episode for Dark Hollywood.
There needs to be an episode of Dark Hollywood about that. That's all I'm saying.
So, yes, we get introduced to our main characters here, Pamela, Andrea, Michelle, and Theo, who is Michelle, I believe Michelle's dog.
Yeah.
We don't actually see them until like 5 minutes into the movie, though.
Well, yes.
Yeah, it's very much like a talking cat, where it's just those kind of voiceovers and like footage of us from a cell phone out the window.
I was going to say it's actually very Manos, the Hands of Fate, sort of that driving montage at the beginning.
Mm. Or Love on a Leash, mm-hmm. actually.
Love on a Leash as well, yes. Yeah. But eventually they do, we do see them, they make their way up to this cheer camp, I guess, in Castaic.
It's basically Santa Clarita.
Right, Santa Clarita, up that way, which is...
It's up by Magic Mountain. You can go to the Six Flags Hotel in Santa Clarita.
Yes. And there they meet the building manager, Axel. Is that what he does? I'm not...
Is that you?
I don't know.
Axel?
He runs the cheer camp. He's the handyman.
He runs the 80s. He runs the 80s party. Has apparently a 24-hour movie marathon, kind of like we have.
Kind of, yeah.
He also loves to carry around tools.
This is true. Well, there's a lot of handiwork going on at this cheer camp for whatever reason.
there's also very, very few cheerleaders at the cheer camp.
Then who are they talking about?
Everyone knows the perfect cheer squads only have 3 members.
Right. We see the gothic cheerleaders in shot, I think.
Yeah.
And then there's what I think Axel describes as a Yugoslavian cheerleader by herself.
Yeah. Lana. But she's never in any sort of cheer outfit.
I don't even think that the titular cheerleader chainsaw chicks, which come from, Mike, what does their uniform say?
Well, the Cali Flyers.
Cali Flyers,
which is from... Yeah.
I don't. It seems like they only had 2 of the uniforms. Were they all 3 in uniforms at the same time?
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Because they never do the dance. There's a moment where we get a montage of them doing like 2 of them doing some cheer moves and stuff like that. But it's not the 3rd, and I didn't really think of it. I just thought they just had the 2 for the day or whatever.
Yeah.
But I bet you're right. They only had someone didn't have a uniform.
Whoa, guys, my mind is blown. I'm beginning to think that there were only 2. Cheerleader chainsaw chicks, and not 3.
Oh, God. Well, 2 of them do look similar, but I had a little trouble figuring out sometimes if it was Pamela or I think it's Michelle.
Well, you see, one of them had a dog, Paul. That's how that's how you tell them apart.
Yeah. Theo is my favorite character.
Until the other one takes that dog for a walk.
Right.
Wait.
So the other one could...
Wait, did the other one take it for a walk? Or I thought it was the same one.
I thought it was the same one.
No, she wants to do it... One of them asks if it could walk the dog, and then she'll take the nap, but it's for her, so she could do something else, like listen to the music or something. I don't know. None of it makes sense. Maybe I'm wrong.
Do you guys remember how there's a vortex in the
Hold on, hold on.
Yes.
Well, that's why kumquats are good. That's why those trees are good.
What the fuck?
Okay, so, Bridget, I know that you want to talk about this. We get a shot of a kumquat tree. But it's not just a kumquat tree. Do you agree with that?
It's never just a kumquat tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most bizarre thing I have ever seen. I cannot fathom it. It bothers me on a unique level. I watched this scene twice because I thought I hallucinated it. I am so sorry for the people in my apartment because every time that there's a, by the way, for the audience, a little bit of context, there's a random vortex that just appears and
yeah,
who knows? Who knows why it's there, but it appears in this scene, and I just started screaming in my apartment, why is it there? Why is it there? Did I hallucinate it? I brought in my roommate. I'm like, why is it? Does this exist?
It's not always there, though, because when someone it's gets a little consistent. Too close to it, yeah, when people have a conversation over this vortex, it disappears for about 10 seconds until they move on their way. And then it reappears.
Unless you're Lana, the Yugoslavian cheerleader, mm-hmm. who does stick her arm into the vortex, and it does get all twisted up, very much so.
I feared for her life. I thought she was going to get sucked in before I realized.
Me too.
Who knows? I don't even know how to explain it.
Here's why this movie's getting less of a score than I originally would want it to. Because the vortex doesn't pay off. If they don't do anything
with
it.
I was waiting for it to pay off.
Yep.
And also, I just got to say, because this bothered me more than anything, kumquat is not a spice.
No.
The fact that he says, like, yeah, it's a spice. I'm like, it's no. Most notably, it's not a spice.
So the girls are hanging out in their room, and I am using air quotes for the word room.
And that does come with a complimentary chainsaw.
They all do. All the rooms have a chainsaw.
And it's the best room in the goddamn world.
Well, it definitely is, but I wanted to talk about why Pamela seems to be wearing a lav mic pack on her back. Did anybody notice that?
Yes, it's called movie magic, Paul.
Is that some sort of like competition thing in the cheer camp or something? You have to wear a mic pack while doing the splits or something? I don't know.
She actually has type 1 diabetes, Paul. That's her pump.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
wow. Sad.
Way to go, Paul. Dark. Jeez. Alienating a huge segment of our audience.
Dang it. You know, guys, before we go any farther, I do want to do some
rating time.
Rules. No, wrong thing, Chris. Drinking rules.
Drinking rules.
The reason that I didn't ask any of you guys to come up with any drinking rules for this movie is because you only need one.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime there is a shot of a circular buzzsaw set to pulsing house music, you drink, and that's all you need.
That'll get you drunk.
Mm-hmm. Let's put the clip in so our listeners will know it when they hear it.
So you wait for it to pay off the entire time, and yet it never does. Much like the great mysteries of life, you never learn anything about the swirl, you never learn anything about the obsession with kumquats, and you never learn anything about the buzzsaw. And you know what? I think that's a good thing. I think movies should have a little more mystery, a little more confusion. Dare I say it, it's Lynchian of her.
Ah.
Wow, you went there.
I went there. I used my film degree to be a douche.
Well, if you do need another drinking rule, you could drink, well, I guess it'd be all at the end, but something to the effect of drinking every time something doesn't pay off, because pretty much nothing pays off. They don't even see the dog. The dog plot.
Yeah.
About let's rescue the dog. That doesn't play, that, you never even hear about the dog.
Can I say the thing about the dog?
Go ahead,
when
Mike.
When she's holding the dog, but it's not a real dog.
Oh, my God.
What?
I didn't
no one notice this? They go up to the sunroof. Yes, they go to the sunroof, and she's holding, like, what I thought was a very still dog under the towel. And I'm like, well, the dog's being good. Then she takes it out and holds it.
Oh, no.
It is a stuffed dog. So then you think, oh, she just brought the stuffed dog with her. That's all it is. Then she gets up to look out the thing for the drug deal, and she is then holding the real dog. So...
They lost the dog for, like, half a day.
Yeah, guys, I'm beginning to see a little connection here. They go by the Viper Room. They went by the Viper Room earlier.
Uh-oh.
That dog was murdered just like River Phoenix at the Viper Room.
Oh, God.
Shock.
Yeah, this clearly. Yeah.
That's what happens. Shit.
So,
wow.
Okay. So, the girls decide to check out the competition, I guess. And we were just talking about Theo.
Oh,
they decide, this pissed me off. They leave Theo alone in their room.
With a chainsaw!
In on this, like, bed that is, like, precariously perched on top of a chair, and they're just like, he's fine, just leave him. For, like, who knows how long.
Well, a long time, because did you see that time lapse where all the people were going behind them when they were just standing there?
But also, did anyone notice the goth cheerleaders? Because they are my favorite thing of all.
They were pretty great.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
So we got the goth cheerleaders. They are amazing. Go them. Like, honestly, screw those three girls for going and saying, like, oh, they got horrible thighs. No, screw you. They're great. They're doing cheers with, like, lit cigarettes, yeah. Half the cigarette dangling out of the damn mouth. Yeah. And, like, I swear to God, one of them was holding a bottle of whiskey. And I'm like, they're amazing. I hope they win the cheer competition.
At the end, I have one question about the goth cheerleaders, though. So at the end of the movie, when things are actually resolved, I guess, there are four cheerleaders celebrating.
Yeah.
Was that fourth one of the goth cheerleaders? Or
I thought maybe that
it
might
was
be
the Yugoslavian cheerleader.
It's Lana.
No, there was another
what?
One.
No, there was another one, though.
Was there?
There was?
It was different, yeah. It was a different one.
She's in, like, two shots at the very end for no reason.
At the very end.
Is it the cheerleader who showed up at the very beginning when they have the drones filming the car coming
could
in?
Could be.
And then one could, of not yeah. the three cheerleaders does like a thing behind the car to show you it's cheerleader camp, not a hot fucking studio in the middle of nowhere.
But Bridget, thank you for bringing that up because that is something I wanted to ask you guys. If you noticed the description of this movie, it is listed as a comedy. So how much of this... I mean, there's obviously comedic bits in the movie, right? But, like, how much of it do you think was really intentional in terms of what is intended to be comedy versus what ends up being a lot of comedy? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, because it's not a horror. There's no bit of horror at all in the movie at all, right?
It's the same reason Tommy Wiseau calls The Room a comedy now, because they had to.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I think we all owe Chairman of the Board an apology.
Again.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. I, on behalf of Carrot Top, appreciate that.
Axel invites the girls to the movie theater.
Yep, they go watch a bunch of movies and then it's over.
Ooh. No, no, you are not going to get through this that quick.
Axel, is that you? Is that you? Is that you?
Axel, is that you?
That's you. Is that you, Axel?
Let's turn this over to Bridget for a minute because I'm very curious what your reaction was when about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes into this movie, it just starts playing a bunch of different clips from other movies in a movie theater that is supposedly in a cheer camp.
Well, I think my first question was, why are they watching a swimsuit contest? Who's in the swimsuits?
Axel! Axel loves it.
And it was from, like, 1989 or something. Yeah. It was, like, some shot on home, you know, video camera stuff.
I have a theory. Okay. I think that's Virginia. I think it's all Virginia.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had a journey. I had an emotional journey with this movie as it took me, like, hostage style with a gun and led me through the wilderness of itself. I was like, whose is this? Like, whose stuff is this? Like, is this a home movie? Is this from the crew? Did they go into, like, a thrift store, like, dump out a thing of VHS and go, ah, good enough, screw it. But then I realized it's all Virginia. Mm-hmm. Everything she directed and, anything she produced, anything she was in, anything.
This is her reel.
This is her reel. We are literally watching her reel. And she went partway through the film and had Axel say, and a quote, I got to pull up my notes for this.
There it is.
And Virginia became a famous film producer. Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute, why would they include Virginia? So I immediately IMDb'd the movie and I'm like, wait a minute. This is a testament to Virginia's ego. If this was a male director, yep. I'd hate it. If this was a male director, I would skew it. I would hate it. I would think this is the worst thing in the world. But because it's a woman, I love it. Honestly, we need more women directors with ego. Screw it. Make the whole movie about you, Virginia. Live your best life, girl.
Yes.
Love you. I will watch 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it is, I didn't, you know, time it exactly, but it is a good chunk of the movie. So yeah. Let's do this. Everybody's hanging out in the theater. The cheerleaders are just inexplicably fine with watching all of this random stuff. Let's go through everybody here and pick their favorite either movie clip or music video or whatever you want from this extended theater hangout sesh. Chris, let's start with you.
Does it have to be one of the movies?
No, it can be whatever you want.
Because clearly these cheerleaders have no idea how movies are made. Is that you, Axel? Axel, is that you? That's you.
Axel, is that you?
Is that you, Axel? That's you. Is that you, Axel?
Chris, can you explain this a little bit more? Because I know that this was your favorite line in the movie.
No, I can't explain it because it's just... These cheerleaders are just, they see the actor who plays Axel. Well, apparently he was in some of these other clips. And I just think they can't believe that they were sitting with a person who looks just like whoever's on screen. And they're like, that's you. That's you, Axel. Is that you?
But
like, they can't believe. They're not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty clearly him, but they're excited, but also have no clue how any of this works.
And there's another guy in the theater, too, who just sits there.
He just sits there.
There's some other characters who don't do shit in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a gang of dudes who are there for a different reason. And I mean, I don't think they do one thing.
Well, Jay, they do more than one thing. They carry more tools back and forth across the parking lot.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to carry the tools. It can't be Axel all the time, I guess.
Yeah.
Bridget. Favorite movie or clip inside the theater?
So I found out what the Billy Drago movie was. Wrong person I said earlier. It's Rounds from 2008. So I think that's their favorite clip. But I'm also going to jump off the idea of them of the people around them constantly carrying power tools. This is the least safe cheerleading camp. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My cousin was a cheerleader. This is not how this works.
They didn't have power tools?
No, distinctly power tool-less, but maybe there should have been.
Jay, favorite clip from the theater?
Oh, Paul, I couldn't tell you. They're all so wonderful.
I know it's hard to pick. It's okay, you can go Mirror Mirror 2 if you want to. It's my pick, but you can take it if you want. Or Mirror Mirror 3, that's in there too.
You know, okay. I wrote in my notes at this point, I'm going to stop writing until something actually happens.
Well, you probably just stopped writing then.
I did. So I'm going to just go off of the only thing I can remember that's not the swimsuit, because we already talked about that. So yeah, there was like a shot of Drago. So whatever that was.
Billy Drago?
Oh, I hear he was a nice guy.
Yes, I very much want to get into the entire Mirror Mirror franchise. I know that there's at least four of them. If there isn't five, I would like to direct five. Just putting it out there right now.
You haven't even seen them. Don't watch any of them and just make it. Just make it. Don't watch any.
Will do. Next
project.
Sounds good.
Put it in the Cyborg universe. It makes sense.
Bridget, this is where we get some sort of actual plot that involves I'm still not sure. Either a drug deal or satellite plans or something. Can you help me out here?
Can you help me out here? Because I don't know. I have no idea.
There was a rock, and then there was a schematic or an envelope put under the rock. But the people who dropped off the schematic and the people who went to go see if it was there later appeared to be talking to the same guy. There was supposed to be something about crazy gangsters, dangerous gangsters, and I'm not convinced we ever saw those people.
Hang on. I don't think we did, but also you say it's a schematic, but it looked to me like one of those like banker pouches that you put like last night's deposit into, which makes me think it's the deposit from the Viper Room where River Phoenix was brutally murdered.
We are reaching for some bits tonight.
He's upset that he's never been on Dark Hollywood and he's auditioning for it.
He's trying to get on a different show right now.
We have a spin-off conspiracy show.
Oh, no. Yeah. You got to cover River Phoenix next.
Yes.
So anyway, it's last night's deposit. Not
the girls see last night's deposit from the sunroof that I alluded to. And then the gang, one of the guys sees the girls looking, and then that kicks off the whole intrigue.
Well, can we say how the guy hid it first?
The intrigue.
The guy hid the bank deposit underneath like a board, and then he kind of just tossed a couple like weeds, like some bits of hay on top of it.
Was it not a rock? Was it a board?
It was like a board.
No, it was a board.
Yeah.
Okay.
With a couple pieces of hay he tosses.
And I don't know. Other stuff happens, and then the bad guys.
Well, wait. Can we talk about how they go to their like cheerleading, their actual cheerleading headquarters, and make fun of all the other cheerleaders?
They're body shamers, dude.
They're body shamers. Mean. Holy shit.
Yeah. Can I ask a question here? Can I ask a real... I want to get serious for a second.
Mm-hmm.
What is thunder thighs even supposed to mean? I know it means like big thighs, right? But when someone walks, no one's thighs like clap like thunder. They just kind of brush against each other. What is this insult? Paul, keep that.
So Jimmy won the tournament.
So do you think they had extremely limited access to this cheer school, and that's why the whole movie wasn't just at the actual cheer place?
No, I don't. I think that Virginia is probably associated with it somehow.
So why didn't they use the actual cheer place?
I don't know, Jay. I don't know.
I feel like she owns that studio.
She probably does, yeah.
She probably
does. No one else in this movie is in anything else except for Axel. But like all the cheer girls are only in this movie. There's no one's an actor in this.
I can pretty much guarantee you that they selected these girls from the cheerleading school to be in the movie because they could do cheerleader stuff pretty good. Because you see them doing some of it.
And because two of them had a uniform.
And because two of them had a uniform.
One is probably the other one's friend, but went to a different cheer camp or something. So she had a different uniform, but had the skills as well. So they only did the two.
Question for Bridget. You live in California. I don't know if this is a California thing. Mike, you used to live in California. Maybe you could answer this as well. Are there just 80s video parties in movie theaters out in California? Is that a thing?
Funny enough, there are a lot of 80s parties. In fact, I'm actually going to one on Saturday.
Is it at an abandoned like studio lot?
Unfortunately not. It would be even better if there were a ton of power tools. Yes.
My experience in California is different because there were a lot of 80s parties because I lived in Orange County in the 80s.
Well, that makes sense.
There you go.
So by definition.
So that's why you edit all that out because it was not worth that fucking joke.
So are we led to believe, I can't even remember what happens here. Does it just, I mean, the whole plot moving forward is them trying to get Theo back, correct, Jay?
Yeah, sort of.
What? I had trouble.
Well, yeah, one of the drug or schematic people find the shredded pom-poms and the note about the cheer camp by the board. And so that's how they put together that the cheerleaders have the schematic. And then the dog, they go pick it up, and then they take it.
But then we get all, but then towards the end of the movie here, we get all this stuff with, like, the bad guys infiltrating the compound, and there's, like, a big battle here.
God.
Nobody knows how this works. They were supposed to do a handoff. It's a dog. Just give them the dog back.
Jay, what kind of Hollywood handoff would this be if there's not a double cross? Come
well,
on.
That's true.
Well, yes, and they say they're going to double cross and they're going to show up early, but Axel, being the genius that he is, was like, they're going to show up early. We better be ready even earlier.
But also, can we just talk about the fact that the gangsters decide to show up 2 hours early to this stakeout? This place is not that big. What were they planning on doing? Like, were they just going to sit in their cars?
I think they noticed that there was a Denny's across the street, and they wanted to do a little stakeout, get some moons over Miami, and then come back.
Maybe do a little shopping at the truck traveled gift shop.
Yeah, the pilot.
And they want to be very punctual.
Well, that's very considerate of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I like these robbers and how they show up places early and on time better than most of my friends. And I say that with confidence because any friends of mine listening, you're not one of those people. But everyone who's a bastard enough not to listen to my podcast, you're all the ones who are late and fuck you.
I like there's a moment, and it doesn't matter, but I was laughing at this. I think it's this part here. Oh. They put on masks in order to infiltrate.
Oh, God.
And they haven't planned any of this. So there's just a bag of masks, and they're all frantically picking the masks out of the bag. And one guy gets the last one, and it's this sort of, like, theater mask with, like, one of the eyes cut out.
Like a
and he's very upset about it.
It's like a Stanley Kubrick fucking sex party mask.
Eyes wide shut party.
Eyes wide shut mask.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
God.
But in Axel, on the other side of this coin, he said, okay, I got a plan to get the dog back, right? It reminds me of a time I was shooting groundhogs or hunting groundhogs, right? Evidently, that plan involves just staking everybody out around a cheer camp and communicating on walkie-talkies in allowing a lumberjack gardener to get beat over the head. That's how he hunts groundhogs.
Yep.
Yes. In the South. Well, that was part one of the plan.
I have to do a quick side thing with Jay here. Yeah. This is the one thing that pays off, Jay, because he talks about the plan with the groundhog killing is from that dumbass story he tells at the beginning of the parking lot when he talks about shooting all the varmints with the pistol, the pellet gun he's got. And he says something about the groundhog, and then he's like, I'll never get that day back or something like that. And you're like, what is that joke? This is the payoff. This is the big reveal.
Did we find something that pays off?
We found a thing. One thing.
We found it.
All right, now, finally, Bridget, this is your time to shine here. As someone, listeners, Bridget has been exploring some of the various Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies. She just compared the new Netflix movie to the original film. And now, finally, we get some amazing, insane chainsaw action here.
Oh,
right?
Oh, boy.
Right,
oh, boy.
Bridget?
truly impressive chainsaw action. No one could possibly hope to survive four girls turning around in a circle in the same place. By the way, it creates a spiral, and I hope you know that in my notes I wound up writing, oh my god, it all adds up, and then Virginia just slaps me in the face and goes, why would you think that, Bridget, you stupid, stupid bitch? And I'm like, thank you, Virginia. I enjoyed all of that.
Wait a minute. I just had another mind-blowing revelation. When they're spinning with the, when these girls are spinning with the chainsaws, maybe that is what creates the vortex we see on the kumquat tree.
Oh. That's what I thought, too.
Like a time thing, almost?
Like a time thing. I thought they were going to be stuck in hell, circling with the chainsaws forever.
Well, let's also point out that one has a weed whacker. Like, it's a weed whacker, a hedge trimmer.
Shears.
And
a
shears.
Pair of shears.
Can we just say, though, right now, that Cheerleader Weed Whacker Chicks is an entirely different movie than what we watched?
Yes.
I mean, it'd still end up on this podcast, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
I mean, the movie is called Cheerleader Chainsaw Chicks. I'm sure that when I announced this movie, you guys thought that you were going to get some sort of asylum-style horror movie, right, where there's blood and guts and things getting chopped up. It doesn't happen, right? Am I making that up?
Nope.
I knew about 4 minutes into this movie that I was picking it for the podcast, but this was a highlight for me for sure.
You know what, Paul? Actually, right there. I'm curious, and now is a perfect time to ask, what did make you pick this?
Oh, yes.
I watched this movie with friend of the show and our bailiff, Tim Bavlenka. It was the sort of thing where we probably weren't expecting much, so when things started happening in the manner that they did, we were very excited.
Started happening. Mm-hmm.
Yes, or didn't start happening.
Things happen.
Does that make sense, Jay?
Yes, it makes perfect sense.
What doesn't happen is the ending, actually. The movie doesn't end. They spin for 7 minutes, and then they jump and cheer for 12, and then it loops back into the spinning, and then they jump for 12, and then it just goes around in this vortex, and we're still watching the movie now.
Yeah, and what happened to the dog?
Yeah, what's the payoff here, Bridget?
I have a theory.
Yeah.
As I said, I think they are spinning in hell forever, and they're in just these infinite time loops.
Wow.
And, like, they're just talking about the time loops they're in. There is no other way they could get scholarships, become celebrities, become politicians, join Homeland Security, become Charlie's Angels. These are all possible timelines. I think she is the new David Lynch.
Bridget, he even mentioned groundhogs. You think that was a reference to the movie?
I think it was.
Oh,
it's a hint. They're dropping hints for us.
Bridget said it. They get recruited to join Homeland Security almost immediately.
Probably the two with the uniform.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
Yep.
I guess because of their chainsaw skills.
Probably the parking lot dance routine.
Or they might just be part of the pep squad.
Right.
Yep. The Homeland Security pep squad.
So everything gets wrapped up in a nice, neat little bow. That should be the end of the movie right there.
Yeah, but it doesn't end.
Oh, God.
Normally it would be. He basically becomes a house flipper for an HGTV show.
Yeah.
And then, like, slowly but surely starts telling us this much more interesting movie, which I think was sequel bait.
Yes.
And he basically, like, goes and explains how they became spies and basically Charlie's Angels. And I'll be honest, I tuned out after that because after hearing about the goddamn veterinarian going to NYU, getting recruited for Homeland Security, one of the coaches becoming a vet, the Yugoslavian going back to her country.
But I just don't understand, like, okay, there's the TV show. He has this real estate flipping TV show. I guess that's what we're watching because the circular saw is still in the background for some reason.
Oh, well.
I thought what was going to happen was he was going to slice his own damn hand off.
Well, then... He dances.
Mike.
He dances. Forgot that he dances at the end.
But he doesn't just dance over his own commercial. He dances over clips of the movie we just watched, and not even outtakes.
This is how you end every movie. This movie gets a much better score than I was going to.
He also, at some point, starts watching advice clips of himself and talking to himself like it's a picture-in-picture type thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's part of the TV show. Then he starts dancing. The music starts playing. You're thinking, okay, well, fade to black, credits. No, then he explains the sequel of what happens in the sequel.
This goes on for a very long time.
He's pitching the sequel.
Rating time.
This is episode 8 of season 3 at this point.
Rating time.
Guys, it's been a wild ride, but it's time for some ratings. And per usual, you can deviate from the official rating scale if you'd like to. Bridget, what we normally do is we give a movie 1 out of 100, and then the rating scale is always something that is customized for the movie. So tonight, the official rating scale for Cheerleader Chainsaw Chicks is going to be 1 out of 100 kumquat trees that may or may not be a rip in the fabric of space and time.
Well, that's certainly a lot better than interesting places to find a knife.
Let's start with Chris Hudson.
Well,
you can do it.
Yep. Okay.
Is that your rating?
This is the best rating I've ever heard from you, Chris.
Just confused silence is what his rating is.
This one kind of broke me, so yeah.
Oh no!
Wow.
Yeah, there we go.
Let us move on to Jason Hull's. I don't know what I'm going to do for this rating graphic.
Am I going to be the first one to actually give a number for this? I'm going to wreck.
Well,
this
you got to be in there somewhere.
Okay, so in all honesty, I don't feel like the movie fulfills the promise of the premise. Like, it's exactly like what you were saying, Paul. You were...
What, are you going to take us to film school on this thing? What is this?
Aren't we? So...
I did.
Please feel free to disagree. I don't feel like this movie was an honest and earnest attempt to make a good movie. Hmm. I just don't think it was. I think they wanted to fill 80 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like... Because they knew, and especially Virginia, with her prior history and experience in Hollywood, she knew she didn't have a full script here. Like, you knew there were problems with this thing. And what they did was they filled a bunch of stuff in until 80 minutes was done. It's like Veronica. You know, everything takes forever to happen in Veronica. But Danzig's trying.
Danzig's like, how many minutes is a feature?
Yeah, it's like he extended it to 80 minutes and everything took forever. But Danzig gets a pass because it's his first movie and he's trying. But this here, I don't feel like it's the same thing. I feel like she knew what was happening here and did it anyway. So I found it more offensive than Veronica.
That's the quote of the night.
I mean, it's fair.
Yeah. Theo was my favorite character, and I never found out if that good boy was rescued. And I actually went back, and I'm like, what? That, what is this? Why? What else did Paul pick this season? And you picked Freeway, you picked Butt Boy, and then this. Like,
you got to mix it up a little bit. You
yeah,
know?
I know, I know, and that's why that's fair. That's very fair. Look, I would not watch this with friends. I would not watch this again myself for the reasons that I have stated. And I am sorry what I'm about to do here. And Virginia, you're probably a lovely person, and I would probably watch another movie by you. I would watch Mirror Mirror, 2 or 3 or whatever.
Hell yeah.
But I, no, not this one. I'm going to say 10.
Oh my God.
Boy. Yeah.
10. Oh, wow. I couldn't stand it. I'm sorry. Yeah. I wanted it to end after 10 minutes. I couldn't take it.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, like I said, always appreciate different opinions on the show.
Yeah.
Bridget, before we get to your rating, it sounds like you have some strong opinions about Veronica as well.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah.
And by love that movie, I mean I vaguely tolerate it. Like, it's a fugue dream. Yeah. It's a fugue dream that I somewhat appreciated. And honestly, I hope Glenn Danzig does more.
Absolutely. He did his second movie, right? So we were looking up that last weekend. Chris is going to pick it up.
I cannot find that for sale anywhere. Mm.
It's a vampire western.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't find it anywhere.
Mike, are you trying to get my attention for something?
I don't know if you wanted me to rate the movie before the guest rated the movie.
Bridget, do you have a preference? Would you like to go now or you want to go last?
I'll go last, actually. I feel like I've been rude and, like, pushy.
No, what are you talking about?
Yes, I'm not an asshole.
Before we get to Bridget's rating, Mike, I know that you did a lot of research on this movie. You have a lot of opinions, so let's get your rating for Cheerleader Chainsaw Chicks.
51.
51.
Is what I was going to rate it walking in before we talked about it.
Okay, all right.
Because the movie isn't offensive, but it's not that interesting, right? It's just on the good side of, like, offensive or not, I think. But hearing Jay's cynical bullshit about how he thinks Virginia was just trying to fill 80 minutes to make a buck.
Okay, no, no.
I don't think that for one second.
You can't
second.
Have a reaction rating. That's not fair.
Oh, it's coming, baby. I think Virginia is somehow related with this cheerleader camp, and she loves these young women, and she says, wouldn't it be so much fun to make a movie? I got a handful of bucks. I know a couple of people that'll throw us a couple of bucks. Why don't we make a movie? Oh, that'll be fun. Wouldn't it be funny if we put a little vortex thing? I could do that with iMovie right over the kumquat trees. It'll be funny. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, we'll use this buzzsaw clip.
Mike,
whatever. It'll be great. We'll make a movie. You're cheerleaders. I love you all. You're such young, wonderful young women. I can't wait to help inspire you to do more in your life.
Yeah.
Let's make a movie. This will be so much fun.
What you just said is more coherent and interesting than the movie itself.
Also, Jay, he also implied that Virginia is actually Jackie Daytona, human bartender, except the filmmaker version.
Yes.
Jackie Daytona.
Maybe she is.
I agree.
So with all that being said, Mike.
With all that being said, I think this movie was just a real fun time they were trying to have with some people that like each other. And when the fucking movie slips out of reality and just goes fucking batshit at the end when he's dancing around the clips, that bumps it up 71.
Wow.
Right. Oh, 71. 71 Hell Vortex Time Loops.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, well, that officially makes this movie not my bad chicken, so that's nice to hear.
Mike, you just took that away from him.
And I got to say, Bad Chicken was about to play 12 seconds into the credits on when I watched the movie.
Oh, really?
I had to turn that shit right off.
That's Bad Chicken.
You want to go a nice double feature, this movie and Bad Chicken.
Tubi, this movie and Brad Chicken.
Brad Chicken.
Did you just say Brad Chicken?
Brad Chicken.
I'm a Brad
Chicken. Jackie Daytona
chicken.
And Brad Chicken.
I'm a Brad Chicken.
That's the live action remake where Brad Pitt plays a fucking shitty rooster.
But, But he ages backwards for some reason.
All right.
And it's called the Chicksican.
All right. Reel it in. Reel it in. Bridget wanted to go last, so I will actually give my rating right now. Look, I actually think that Jay's comments on this are valid. I don't know that I necessarily agree with them. I actually think that it's one of the things that makes the movie interesting is that it's kind of in that gray area where it's hard to tell if they're maybe somehow in on the joke a little bit or not at all. I don't know personally, and that's part of the appeal for me. I had fun watching the movie when I first saw it. I do think that this would be something that would be fun to, have friends over for. If you're having a couple people over, have some drinks and put on some Cheerleader Chainsaw Chicks. I am going to go... I will say that it did at some point drag a little bit, and it is hard to focus through the entire thing, especially when the plot kicks in. Oddly enough, as soon as the plot kicks in, you're like, oh, okay. I'm going to go 77. What's the official rating system? Kumquat trees that may or not be a rip in the fabric of space and time. Bridget, thank you so much for joining us. Very excited to hear what you have to say about this movie.
Thank you so much for having me. And before I say this rating, because people are going to think I'm insane, I think I'm insane. I'm worried for my own mental health. I review and watch a lot of great movies, mediocre movies, and absolutely terrible ones. The absolutely terrible ones have the same thing in common, which is absolutely no passion, no thought put into it, and no unique stance and no unique point of view. That's what I hate in a movie. I reviewed Mac and Me a while back. That thing broke me because it is the equivalent and honestly the pinnacle of everything this movie isn't. Because I'm going to give it an 80 because...
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't think this was a cash grab. Mm-hmm. I think this was the weirdest passion project I have ever seen from somebody who has, honestly, a lot of confidence. I could not put a clip show of myself in a movie. not what I would do personally, but you know what? I gotta give her credit for it. That's ballsy. That's like Tommy Wiseau level ballsy. And honestly, I think she's kind of, if she ever wants to do anything again, Virginia, if you're on the line, please do something again.
Yes.
I think she's like woman Tommy Wiseau. Like, it's weird.
Wow, woman Tommy Wiseau and woman David Lynch. Wow.
Both. She's somehow both.
You couldn't have said Tammy Wiseau.
She's Tammy Wiseau.
Tammy Wiseau.
There it is, baby.
She is Tammy Wiseau. She is Dana Lynch. Honestly, she's bizarre. She's unique. She puts her history in everything she does. And she made a weird movie. Okay, not everyone can make me pause, rewind, watch again, analyze with multiple people, an entire scene about kumquats.
Mm-hmm.
That's a talent. Keep making movies, Virginia.
Yes, absolutely.
I think we can all agree on that.
Yes.
Absolutely. Jay, mm-hmm. Do you at least agree on that?
I said it. Yeah, absolutely.
Can I, speaking of movies she's directed, there is a mystery we didn't solve earlier that I just found the answer
to. Oh, yeah?
To.
Yes. Ooh.
Yes. She has directed three films, one of which is called Bikini Witness.
That was in the movie.
Which I believe is going to be the footage in the clip show.
Okay.
Listen to this plot. Three beautiful girls, Tanya, Vanessa, and Debbie, decide to participate in a beauty contest on a California beach. The night before the competition, the three friends are invited to a party on a beach house where they witness, powerlessly, a murder.
Oh, River Phoenix.
I need to see this. No, right. No, we brought that around. That paid off. Fuck you.
All right, so Chris, I guess you know what you're picking on the next episode of B-Movie Mania. Not that you're next, but that's what you're picking next.
Oh, yeah.
My Own Private Idaho?
A River Phoenix film?
My Own Private Idaho.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania...
I've been debating this movie for a while whether or not to pick it, and after our B-movie marathon that happened, I thought, yeah, let's do it, because I'm pretty sure that a couple of you have not seen it. It's wild, and I think we'll have a very good time with it. We are going to watch Head of the Family.
Oh!
Yes! They just did that on Last Drive-In.
Yeah, it's a crazy one. Now, if you'll just cut out what I'm saying right now, Paul, I will look up where you can stream it at.
No can do, Jay.
Oh, this is all
in. Where Howard Hessman plays the teacher amongst all the gifted students and is later replaced by Billy Connolly?
Yes.
No.
We're talking about the Homunculus movie. Oh. I can fill in the blank here if you need me to vamp,
nope,
Jay.
Nope, I got it. Oh, no, I looked up Head of the Class.
Let's see. We never edit this stuff.
The 1998, the 1998 film Monkey Business that Billy Drago and Shit the Beef
I got it. Here we go.
Can be found for free on the Roku channel.
Head of the Family
came
out in 1996. And you can watch it on Tubi, of course, or you can watch it on Shudder for those of you who like to watch things on Shudder. So,
I do.
Yes,
indeed.
We're going to watch Head of the Family. Directed by Charles Band.
Oh, boy.
I think we've met him.
Wow. Yeah, and if, for those of you who don't know, Paul and I met Charles Band once. We'll put a photo on our website.
I believe he directed Academy Award-winning film Parasite.
He did, yes.
What?
Yeah, we did a whole episode about it, Mike.
Oh, with Demi Moore.
With Demi Moore. Demi Moore's first movie.
Bridget.
Mike forgot the bit.
Thank you so much.
So Jimmy won the tournament.
For joining us on this episode. We appreciate it very much. Like I said at the top of the show, I very much enjoy your YouTube videos. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what it is that you do on YouTube and where we can find your stuff?
I review a mixture of horror movies, art house movies, extreme cinema, and terrible, terrible shit that people recommend to me. If anything, that's my favorite thing. And I do a reaction series where I sometimes watch good things, but a lot of the time just get smacked in the face by bad movies and honestly make me worry about my own mental health. I also cover a lot of weird franchises. So most recently, we're finishing up Resident Evil. I watched nearly all of them. I got one more left, and this one's got dragons.
Ooh,
what?
And after that, I'm going to be covering Jaws.
Ah.
Ooh.
Very nice.
Hey, can I make a... Hey, Bridget?
Yes.
Can I make a request? And none of you say a word.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I would love to hear your take on this film called Bad Chicken.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, God.
I thought you were gonna... Bad Chicken?
Yeah. Bad Chicken.
Brad Chicken?
Brad Chicken.
Bad Chicken, not Brad Chicken.
Okay. So I'm going to do a reaction video to that.
Wow.
Thank you. I feel like I'm on an island. I love it.
She's going to do it.
I've survived Mac and Me, and let me be honest, that broke me on a fundamental level.
This is going to break you on a moral level. Yep.
And the Garbage Pail Kids. I've done that too, unfortunately.
Oh, we just watched that.
We watched that last week.
That's a rough one.
Oh, God.
So sorry.
Bridget, if you want, that can almost be sort of our like crossover deal if you feel like doing Bad Chicken. You know, you can say, hey, Jay requested this. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm down. I'm here
Thank
for
you.
It.
And where can everybody find your stuff on YouTube? We're going to post links on bmoviemania.com, but for the listeners just listening in their car or whatnot, where are you at?
Oh, crap. I forgot to almost plug my channel. I'm the worst at this. So I am Girl Behind the Counter on YouTube. And you can also find me on Instagram where I am Official Girl Behind the Counter. And occasionally I post funny things on Letterboxd.
There you go.
Where I'm Bardot, for all you know. So if you want to hear my thoughts on Russ Mayer, go to the Letterboxd.
Yes. Links down below on bmoviemania.com. Bridget, thank you so much. I really wanted to get you on for this particular episode. I'm glad it worked out. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast. Y'all are so funny.
We're okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They are touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Mike, I guess we have some stuff for sale over at store.bmoviemania.com. Anything that you want to talk about?
What?
Yeah, Paul, let me tell you about the big mover right now. Things are going real fast with this one. The Green Slime Band t-shirt. That's right, the Green Slime Band
Green
t-shirt.
Green Slime!
There's a movie called Green Slime! And we got a t-shirt by artist Johnny Clipmade, and they're flying off the shelves right now. No clue why, but happy it's happening. Why don't you be one of the two, the three, the five? Follow the trend, everybody. What's go, baby. Green Slime Band t-shirt. It's T-Public.
What about that Alexandra Daddario is Daddy t-shirt? She got hitched a
no
couple months ago.
Paul, you bought it.
Oh, God.
Good night, everybody.